When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Wow, Friday, November 6th, is that right? Oh my gosh, it is November 6th, 2015, the sixth day of the Art Sound Off Challenge, which you can find more information about at artsoundoff.com. There's two reasons I'm mentioning that address just now. One is because, yes, this is part of the challenge, and if you are interested in participating in it or finding out more about it, that's the place to go. But also because there's a list of prompts on there that my buddy Rob Stenzinger and I put together for people who are taking the challenge. And if you get to the end of a day and you're like, I don't know what I'm going to talk about, those are there to be cues for you. I'm finding another use for them is that, lots of stuff is going on, but I haven't finished processing it. And I don't want to talk about it before I'm done processing it. I feel like the last couple days of doing the Thunder Punch Dailies as part of this challenge, I've been kind of like reacting to things and sort of, okay, let me put it this way. I talked about this in Extra Lean with Rob. I felt panicked when I did it. Rob, I think, very correctly pointed out that if I go back and listen to him, you probably can't hear the panic all that much. But that was me very furiously trying to piece together meaning out of a day when I'm not done really processing the day yet. And as I said in the first Thunder Punch Daily for this particular event, which would be episode 182. So it's a comicsreadit.com/TPD182. I cited one of the goals of this project was that the doing an art sound off Thunder Punch Daily every day would be a chance for me to check in and reflect on my day. In a sense, attempt to begin processing the day. So yes, but I'm looking at the end of this week. I'm looking at the end of this day and I feel like I can't put it all together yet. So this is where those prompts come in very handy. Like if you haven't finished processing your day, you can use these as a jumping off point because today's prompt on there, the day six prompt was, what are some useful constraints of the project you're working on now? And I'm reminded of something that some conversations I've been having on Twitter recently about the Boulder and Fleet comic because people have been asking like, and I know I've covered this in past Thunder Punch Dailies, but you don't have to go dig through all the archives unless you really love this show and then go download them all. But I'm warning you, some of them are like 7 years old. But some people have been asking about, you know, like the way I make the Boulder and Fleet comic, the delivery method, the format, why are you doing these things, right? And so the short version is, yes, it's a square comic because when I started it a year ago, in October of 2014, Instagram was required that you have square photos. You had to, the photo had to be square in order to be posted on Instagram. Now, if you have a full page or a portrait-oriented comic page, doesn't mean you can't put it on there. It's just that you have to crop some of the stuff out. I wanted my comic to be read natively in Instagram. Why? Because I want the comic to be read by young people. And in my own personal experience, the only social network where I see young people engaging and consuming media is on Instagram. They're not on Facebook as much. Some are, but not across the board. They're not on Twitter as much, but they're all on Instagram. And they're all on YouTube. So like those are the two places where young people are consuming media. Therefore, if I have a comic, Instagram has to be. So at that time, square format was the constraint that I was working within, which turned out to be, you know, after a year of doing this, I was nervous going in, you know, trying to format an entire comic story to a square. And when I started the story, this Mining for Trouble story I'm still working on now a year later, I really thought it was going to be like 32 pages. I didn't think it was going to be more than 50 pages, but that came out of the fact that there is the first constraint I wrote down here for today is the square format itself. Why is that a useful constraint? Well, let's point out the non-useful part. It's kind of hard to get a satisfying update in a space that's so small. If you think about it, and especially somebody like me who spent the majority of their career thinking of a comic page as being a portrait-oriented page, usually 7.5 inches by 10.5 inches deep or somewhere in that neighborhood. A4, I don't know, letter-sized piece of paper, somewhere in that neighborhood. Like I'm used to thinking of the page in that regard. So when you make it square, you're effectively cutting a third off of the bottom of the page, which means that fitting more than three or so panels on there comfortably becomes challenging. And I know I have some pages where I think I've had as many as seven panels, but those are for like really rapid fire moments. I think it was the page where the hippos are having the pie eating training session. And so that was meant to be like really like bam, 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 bam kind of moments. Whereas like that's not the whole story. There's going to be lots of, you know, quiet moments and long moments and big moments and so on. So as a rule, or as a general rule of thumb, I should say, the most comfortable arrangement is about three panels. Three to four is like the max you can fit on there and have it be readable on an iPhone screen on Instagram and still have it be legible. So it's harder to get a satisfying update. But the useful constraint is that this actually, it really does a good job of boxing the required effort of the page. If all I'm going to be able to fit on this page comfortably is about three panels, that means I only got to draw three panels, right? So it limits the amount of effort that goes into each and every page. Now, of course, I could always be a goofball and put in way more effort than what is required, you know, really just spend so much time painting that mine cart to just get all the light and shadow on it just so. But again, we're really looking at an iPhone screen as being like the first landing point for like the native way to read the comic. So a year has taught me to, you know, not go nuts with that. So the first square format, small screens means that I don't overdo it on the pages, and I really can keep the production on each page down to 8 hours or less, which is pretty great considering writing, penciling, inking, lettering, coloring, right? I'll do that within 8 hours. It isn't too bad. The current story, this is the second constraint, and I think this is my only one. Oh, no, I got two here. But you know what? I'm only going to do one more because I don't want these episodes to run too long. The second constraint is that the current story takes place in a gorge. And this was an unexpected benefit that came out of the story. The notes that I wrote in the story literally was, because this was chapter one of like a larger story I wanted to do, and I just wanted this to be like the introductory piece where, introducing my bear and bird, they come upon some people in a problem. And then they engage with the problem. And the problem that I wrote in my notes was that they see a mine and there are these rock creatures who eat precious metal who are attacking the mine because they want the metal inside. And there's a fight and Boulder and Fleet dispatch the rock creatures. That was all I wrote down when I started this thing. So when I was thumbnailing it out, I was like, okay, well, where's the mine going to be? Well, I got Boulder and Fleet walk along this nice nature path. Well, maybe there's a gorge. They look down on a gorge, and at the bottom, there's a mine. And then we can have them picnic and look down there and sort of observe and report on what they see down in the gorge as a way of setting up the fact that these characters are going to come into conflict down there. But unexpected benefit is that in a gorge, you are not drawing 3-point perspective shots of buildings or cars or technology, right? The great thing that I've run into as a benefit is that really all I'm drawing is rocks, and I love to draw rocks. There's a minecart here and there, but all of that is like fairly simple to do. So it was a whimsical little choice that wound up being of great benefit to me down the road. Okay, conversely, all of these things have a downside too, is it also makes it really hard to find ways to create drama in the colors. And so another design choice that came out of that constraint is, if you look at a lot of pages in sequence, you'll notice that I get really subjective about the color palette. Like the background rocks don't remain the same. The color's not consistent between the pages. However, page 51, which I just finished, ends a bit of intense action. And so I revert the background color rocks to the colors they first appear on page 8 or something like that. So it's like, okay, all the drama's over. Now we can go back to the natural color palette. But if you look at all the other sequences, it's like all sorts of purples and reds and all these strange colors for the rocks just to help amplify that sense of drama and intensity as things are going on. But that came out of the fact that it's like, how can I make this more visually interesting given that we're just looking at rocks over and over again, right? So, yes, design constraints, they can lead to positive side effects. You know, it's not just about, like, and I run into this with my students all the time. I'll give them projects where they have lots of constraints, where I'll even give them like a mini comic template. you know, like a really a mini, mini comic template where it's like an eighth of a piece of paper each page. And I give him a box of crayons. Like, we're going to make a mini comic today and you have to use crayons. Oh, I can't draw good with crayons. You bet you can't. So you better learn how to, or figure out how to get more out of less with this, right? Very, you know, I made no secret out of my love of Mr. Miyagi. Totally sand the floor kind of stuff, right? They think they're doing one thing, but what they're really doing is another. So, but the big idea is that constraints always lead to creative solutions. So we should, for the most part, embrace them, even if we groan at first. So who am I? Jersey Droz, cartoonist and teaching artist. I do a comic called Boulder and Fleet at boulderandfleet.com about a bear and a bird who go from town to town and solve people's problems. And, you know, I don't think I'm tipping a hat here or tipping anything off or spoiling anything when I point out the fact that, because this gets said quite a few times in the first 20 pages, Boulder doesn't like to fight. You know, he's a pacifist at heart and he tries to find other ways to solve the problems. Page 50 just dropped and I was pretty happy with it because I found a way for him to solve the problem without ever throwing a punch. Those are my favorite kind of heroes. I know I've talked about them a lot in lots of different podcasts. So go check it out, boulderandfleet.com. It's on Tapastic too. And if you really like it and you want to get behind the scenes stuff, you can go support my Patreon. That's at patreon.com/jersey. That's where I'm posting like in progress stuff and behind the scenes stuff about the comic. This show is hosted by Kablam, ka-blam.com. They are a print-on-demand service, and they do great stuff. And they have a fulfillment service. They have an online store, so you can submit your files, get your book printed, and sell it on their site. So you don't even have to, you know, send anything to anybody. It's very convenient, and I know the guys personally. I believe in their product, and I'm happy to be associated with them. And then finally, the voiceover for this episode was provided by Tara Platt of bugbatpress.com. She's a voice actor in cartoons, and she's also an actress in movies. And she did a book about voice acting called Voiceover Voice Actor, What It's Like Behind the Mic. I did the illustrations in the book. You can go find it on Amazon. All right. Until next time, everybody. Oh, by the way, Art Sound Off. If you want more of these episodes, go check out the Art Sound Off hashtag on Twitter, on Facebook, on all the social networks. Until next time, I've been Jersey Drozd of boulderandfleet.com and Jersey on Twitter. Remember, everybody.
Helping his dragon friend sure kept He-Man busy today. And Brindle's tests were pretty tough. In one of those tests to prove his courage, he was challenged to a fight. But He-Man wouldn't fight.
The fact is, fighting never proves anything. Trying to find a peaceful way to settle a problem is usually the best way. And if someone calls you a coward or a chicken, don't let it worry you. It often takes more courage not to fight. Until later, bye now.